Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Recently, one of the Bibles of journalists, the AP Style Book, added a section about addiction. It says the reporter should describe the 21 million addicted Americans as people with addiction, not addicts. Use substance use disorder instead of substance abuser. Why? And why is it important to call methadone a medical treatment, not a sub for heroin? Well, because a recent World Health Organization study found that drug addiction is the most stigmatized of social problems. And there's a move to try to get people to see it as the brain disease it is and not a bad habit. Let's hear more about that from Michael Botticelli, the former director of national drug policy under President Obama. Just before leaving his office in January, Michael issued a memorandum on how federal agencies should refer to addiction. Not to be politically correct, but because it affects the way people are treated and whether they seek treatment at all. Michael Botticelli is now executive director of the Graykin Center for Addiction Medicine at Boston Medical Center. Welcome.
Thank you, Robin. It's good to be here.
And start with your memorandum. I have it in front of me. Why? Why did you ask all agencies to change the way they speak?
So you cited when you started this story the nearly 21 million Americans who have a substance use disorder, and unfortunately, only a very small percentage, about 10% of those people, actually get treatment. And when you look at the reasons that people cite of why they don't seek treatment, the number one answer that comes up for many people is stigma. They don't want their neighbors finding out. They don't want their friends finding out. And one of the contributory factors to that stigma is our language that we use. So this is not just a polite thing to do. These are issues and these are words that have a dramatic impact on both clinical care and about how medical professionals actually see and treat people with addiction.
Well, this is the same kind of move that we heard with other language. You know, people with autism, instead of calling them the disorder, calling them autistics, the idea was they are people first and then there is something that they have.
Correct. And often when we call people things like addict or junkies, not only are they incredibly judgmental words, but they also kind of pigeonhole someone's entire being to that one single characteristic. And again, this is where we're beginning to have much more direct clinical evidence that words matter. And Dr. John Kelly, who's at the Harvard MGH Recovery Research Institute, did this really interesting study where he gave trained clinicians nearly identical scenarios about someone with a substance use disorder. And the only thing he changed was in one scenario, he called the person a substance abuser. And in the other scenario, a person with a substance abuse disorder. And what he found is when you called someone a substance abuser, it elicited, even from trained clinicians, a much more punitive response.
Yeah, in other words, they are the ones who should be punished for their behavior, as opposed to when you use the substance use disorder, which is the new phrase. They have something. It's a disorder. It's not a failing.
It's not a failing. And again, I think, you know, now we have language that comports with our understanding of addiction as the disease, not as a moral failing, not as a character flaw. A word like abuse, it implies volition. It implies intent. And not to say that people with addiction don't make choices. It negates the fact that they have a disease and they need treatment. And not only does that impact on the individual level, it impacts on the policy level. So you think about our history of how we treat people with addiction. And largely it's been with punitive criminal justice responses, not with, you know, robust health responses to this. You know, from my standpoint, this is one of the simple things that we can do, I think, that will have a direct impact on how people perceive themselves and the care that people get.
Well, we have seen language change in the past, but boy, I'm wondering if this will be simple. First of all, you're suggesting what the current Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders is already doing. Mm-hmm. So you're telling people in agencies are now telling us all, let's switch from abuser or addict to this substance use disorder. Mm-hmm. It's hard to see somebody, you know, wrestling with having this, sitting in, let's say, a 12-step meeting, and instead of saying, I'm an addict, saying, I'm someone with a substance use disorder. You've already got 10 more words.
Yeah. So I think language changes are always hard initially, that, you know, we're going through an adaptation period. You know, I make mistakes all the time, you know, and I fall back into kind of habitual language. And so it takes time. But I think that part of it is we need to continue to make conscious effort. You talked about autism, but think about words that we used to describe someone with a mental illness that we don't use anymore.
The R word, we won't even say.
The R word people don't say anymore. Mm-hmm. So we need to be able to do that. And, You know, the other piece, too, which I think is important, I'm also a person in long-term recovery, and I realize sometimes what I say is we use our 12-step language in public ways that is probably not beneficial. So what we say to each other or what we say in the context of a meeting is different than what we should be saying in the public, because people in the general public hear those words dramatically different than someone who's sharing the same journey with me.
So you're asking for person with a substance use disorder instead of a junkie.
Instead of a junkie, instead of a drunk, instead of a substance abuser. You know, I think all of us realize that that's a mouthful. But we could even say a person with addiction, right, instead of an addict. You know, we also, I think, use other words and terminology that are somehow easier to change. Like often we talk about people in recovery as being clean. Right. Well, you know, you think of what the opposite of that means is that when they're active, they're dirty. So also,
so what would you do there? Positive and negative?
Oh, in recovery, not in recovery.
And you're saying apply it also to drug tests, you know, not clean or dirty, but what?
Positive and negative. I don't know of other drug tests that we describe in such judgmental language. I was actually just looking at results of an interesting study that Johns Hopkins did about the public opinion about mental health and substance use disorders. And they asked people things like, are people with a substance use disorder or a mental illness deserving of treatment? Unfortunately, even more than mental health, people said that someone with a substance use disorder shouldn't be entitled to treatment. They shouldn't be entitled to housing. They shouldn't be entitled to employment, even more than people with a mental health illness. And what it shows me is we have a ways to go on both illnesses. But it also says that even more than mental illnesses, we need to continue to diminish some of the stigma that contributes to some of those public policy and public sentiment.
You talk about medication-assisted treatment as well. So talk about this, because some people might not be aware of what you are seeing as the negative use of words like substitution. So when somebody's under treatment, they say methadone is substituting for heroin. And that says what to you? Why is that wrong?
So that basically says to me that people still have an active addiction, even though they are using one of the most evidence-based medications that we have. Addiction is a constellation of symptoms. People are not committing crimes. You know, they have improvement in social functions. They have an improvement in employment. And there's a dramatic difference between using an illicit substance to get high versus a medication to treat your disease. We would never say to a diabetic who's getting insulin, you're supporting your disease with a drug. I'm a former smoker, and I've never heard someone say to me that wearing a patch is just substituting for smoking. It's not. It's actually become the standard of treatment. And unfortunately, there's additional stigma attached to people on medication. And think about that. Think about a person who might be struggling, who might be saying, you know, I think I might want to go to treatment, who sees that and basically says, oh, my God, I don't want to be stigmatized like that.
So Michael Botticelli, what's been the reaction of the treatment community, of the federal government? There were some who were even trying to change the agencies because the agencies have abuse right in the title.
Yeah. I think the reaction from our federal agencies was incredibly positive on this. I hope people experienced a robust response from the Obama administration as related to this epidemic from many, many of our federal agencies. And so I think they saw this as something they could contribute to. Unfortunately, some of our federal agencies that actually have drug abuse or substance abuse in their names are actually statutorily mandated names. They actually would have to pass legislation to change their name. So it wasn't, unfortunately, just a simple process of some of those agencies just changing their name.
Right.
And, you know, when the AP style book changes came out, I felt especially proud because one of the reasons that we did what we did at the federal level was in hopes of modeling other changes with the media, with the public for those kinds of language changes. So I don't know how the Trump administration has been looking at that document or holding federal agencies to that kind of piece. But I am glad to see that there seems to be growing understanding and acceptance of clinically appropriate non-stigmatizing language.
That's Michael Botticelli, director of the National Drug Control Policy under President Obama, and he is now executive director of the Graykin Center for Addiction Medicine at Boston Medical Center. Michael, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.
Well, your thoughts. Person with substance use disorder, not an addict or a junkie. Weigh in. We'd love to hear from you at hereandnow.org. Quick note, tomorrow, workers at the Nissan Auto Assembly Plant in Canton, Mississippi, begin voting on whether to join the United Auto Workers Union, which has never unionized a Southern plant. We'll hear more this afternoon on All Things Considered. That's ATC this afternoon.